Today we are brought to you by our good friends at Impact Media. Guys, take a bow. Even though we're on the radio, I'm sure they saw it. We got a ton, just absolute tons of things to talk about. Of course, we'll talk about the big win over the weekend for the Revolution. But we have two very special guests. One in particular I am absolutely excited about. Sorry, Jordan, it's not you. Right now I want to bring her on. She is, I'm not sure your official title, actually, but you are the main interviewer, I guess, on Inside the Revolution for the Texas Revolution. She's Catherine Dunn. How you doing, Catherine?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Do you have an official title, or are you just the main person on?
Yeah, I mean, they call me their on-camera host.
On-camera host. See, I'm not good with words.
Yeah, you can just call me Catherine.
Isn't that easier, right?
I'm not all about the official title.
Definitely so. What little bit I was able to dig up about you, you know, social media can only be so much help. But
yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's good to finally have you on. We tried to get you on last year. We had some things come up where we couldn't make the schedules work, but this year I made it one of my prime purposes because you're one of the most requested people that people want to hear on the show. So I'm trying to help the fans
saying.
Out.
You were just saying that. Well, I've been waiting for a year to come on, so I'm so excited.
There we go. Put the ball back in my court. Yeah. But, you know, real quickly, I like to start off with everybody we bring on, no matter what their role is with the Revolution. Just the real quick summarized version of kind of your story to how you got where you are now.
Well, it's a lot easier than you would think. It's one of my goals to become involved in sports media, and someday I want to become synonymous with Dallas sports. Like, I want people to think of my name whenever they think of Dallas sports. And as starting out in such a large market as the Dallas market is, you literally have to just put yourself out there with everything. So I looked online, and I looked at every single Dallas sport that there was. And, I mean, I sent emails to as high as the Dallas Cowboys and as low as college teams. And then, of course, with the Texas Revolution. And I got an email back almost immediately from Charlie Hildebold, who wanted to meet with me. So I went into the office and I said, I'm wanting to get involved in sports media. I want to be a sports broadcaster. Just wherever you need me, I want to be able to help. So the good thing about the Texas Revolution is that it is a team of people that are all trying to, you know, become better at what they're doing, whether it's the players or the coaches. Like, we're all, you know, helping each other to help each other. So Charlie offered me to come on as their on-camera host, and that was a huge step, and he trusted me with a lot because he hadn't even seen me on camera. He just, I guess, took my word for it. And it's become one of my favorite things that I've done. I really love the Texas Revolution. You can't repeat this too much, but sometimes my parents will even choose to go to the Revolution games over the Mavs games. I mean, we love the Revolution.
Wow. They're an absolute great, you know, they're a great organization. That's part of how I got, you know, we were talking beforehand, before the show, how I got involved with them. They're just, once you get there, it's you're already part of the family. So you do everything you can to make sure this organization gets where it wants to go. And Charlie's one of the main reasons that it's going where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, since you mentioned it, I'll go straight to that because that's actually another fun tie that I have to your career a little bit. You are a Dallas Mavericks dancer going on your third
yep.
year, correct?
Yep, I'm actually just wrapping up my third year. We have about 6 more home games until hopefully the playoffs. So, yeah, it's been a fun ride.
Oh, there's no hopefully when the playoffs begin and the Mavs are hopefully sitting at a 4 or 5 seed, which would it might be a stretch at this point. But, Mr. Cuban, I don't mean it. Trust me.
Well, it's a toss-up between, I think it's the Mavericks and the Rockets are both fighting for the same spot. But Utah's coming up pretty fast, so they could boot one of us out. I'm hoping that it's Houston. So I'm just going to keep my fingers crossed.
Exactly so. Not that I want to take away from your time with the Revolution, but I happen to be a Mavericks fan. And mainly I started being a Mavericks fan not only because of Dirk a couple years ago, but because Mark Cuban is one of my favorite people.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got a chance to meet him?
I have. Of course, I always see him on the sidelines. I don't really get to talk to him that much, but I did get a picture with him at the Mavs Blue Tie Gala the other night.
Wow.
That was one of the highlights of my Mavs dancing career is I actually got a picture with Mark Cuban. I haven't seen the picture yet. One of the photographers took it, but I'm going to have to track that down and frame it.
I'm going to get our crack team of social media. I'm not sure what we should call them because they kind of stalk people sometimes. It's really bad.
Oh, I know. Well, I'm a pretty good internet stalker too, so I'm right there on that team.
Hey, kids, if you want to break into sports media, listen, both me and Catherine will tell you, learn to be a social media stalker, but don't do anything illegal. It's the best way to find things.
Exactly.
But
and also
how
the best way to meet people, too.
Go ahead. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely, because you're always right in the middle of the action, especially in the middle of games.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're a dancer or whether you're interviewing people or even covering the game, you find yourself in places that you could only imagine you'd get to.
Yeah, the Mavericks have opened up a lot of doors for me, so I'm really grateful.
How did you become a Mavericks dancer?
I feel like every time you ask me how I got somewhere, I'm like, well, I just showed up and I just tried out. But that's kind of what happened with the Mavs dancing, too. Ever since I was a little girl, I always wanted to cheer professionally because, of course, I grew up dancing. And it was just always a goal of mine that I knew right after I was to graduate college, I was going to go audition for the Dallas Cowboys, the Dallas Mavericks, you know, whichever team in Dallas I could make, and spend a couple years being an ambassador for that team. So I just showed up at Mavs auditions, and luckily I was in the right place at the right time, and I made the team. And then 3 years later, they haven't gotten rid of me yet. So it's been a great ride.
That's awesome. And, yeah, I can vouch for that, too. A lot of the opportunities I've gotten, I just happen to be the one that showed up at either the right time or, like you said, sometimes just be the one in line or in the office when they're like, oh, you want to do that? Okay, come this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my secret to success in a lot of areas. Just show up because some people don't show up, and then you can take their job.
It's absolutely true. I don't know if you got a chance a couple years ago because I know you've only been with the Revs for a couple years now, but did you get a chance to meet Jen Welter?
Yeah, she was one of the coaches last year.
Right.
And that was really cool seeing her become such a role model for young women, which she always has been, but really on such a dynamic national level. That was really neat
now
to see.
Yeah, I was going to say now the rest of the world knows.
Yeah, I know. We always loved her and we always knew her. But now, the rest of the world got in on our secret. So that's one of the proudest moments about being a Texas Revolution fan, I would say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because as a lot of when I travel around nationally for different events, a lot of people, when that gets brought up, I'm like, oh yeah, I know Jen. I've had her on the show a couple times. They just all turn and look at me. I was like, I knew her way before she got really big with you guys. And I just pull up some of the stuff and go, yeah, she played with the team. She coached with the team. Then she got the call to Arizona.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. And she actually came to the game last week. So I got to see her again and I got to interview with her.
Yeah, I hated to miss her because I've never met her I've never met her in person. I've always talked to her over the phone. So one day, Jen, one day we'll cross paths.
Yes.
Tell me how you got the nickname Fun Done.
You're going to laugh because I know technically you're not allowed to come up with your own nickname, but I actually came up with my own nickname. And the secret to how it worked was I just told everybody that people called me Catherine Fundun. So I'd be like, oh, yeah, they call me Catherine Fundun. Really, no one calls me that except for myself. And I just wanted it to stick so badly because I thought it was perfect since it rhymed with my last name. And, you know, I just thought it was a funny thing that I could tell people. But, yeah, I was the first person to call myself that. And then everyone else thought, well, if everyone else is calling her Catherine Fundun, then I guess I'll call her that too. And now everyone calls me Fundun. But I definitely came up with that myself.
Hey, I can't fault you at all for that. Somewhere one of my really good friends is dying laughing of all the nicknames I've called myself over the years. That he's like, where did you come up with that? I don't know. Off the top of my head, it sounded good. In fact,
exactly. You know,
I haven't wrote the book yet, so I guess one day one of the chapters in the book I'll explain the impact story. But, yep, come up with that one on my own too.
Yep. As long as you just say that other people came up with it and other people call you that, then everyone else will kind of like bandwagon along with it.
Exactly. You come up with the nickname, you build the brand, whether it's a haircut or a face or just the way you present yourself, and then suddenly it sticks.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And you've got to interview a lot of the players with the Inside the Revolution. I've seen all the episodes. I've actually been a fan of the way you do things on there as well. And every time I have one of the players on, I ask them about it, and they love having you around having you around the team all the time as well.
They better say good things about me.
Right? I'm sure my phone will blow up. Like, we've never said anything bad. But
no, I listen. I listen in. I know what they say.
Oh, definitely so. That's why this show is actually pretty meaningful for me, because between you and Jordan, it seems to be you two are the most socially active as far as supporting the show. So definitely I appreciate that. And when I have Jordan on here in a minute, I'll tell him as well. But with the Inside the Revolution, do you get to pick, you know, kind of what you do with that, or do they set that up, or how does that work?
Well, I have a production team that I work with, and then this year we just got a new production team, Solidary Studios, and they're great. And, I mean, as far as the editing and the production of the video, they come up with all that. But I have free reign over, you know, who we interview, what I ask them. I don't call all the shots because I'm not in charge of the final edit. But,
right.
You know, up until the editing, I can kind of put my own twist on it.
That's definitely awesome, because definitely another thing, boys and girls, if you're going to break into the business, you don't always get to pick and choose your opportunities. Sometimes you just take what's thrown at you, but it's definitely
exactly.
Nice when you get to pick it. Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, this has been the best experience that I could have asked for. I mean, to be able to just not only walk into an office and be like, hire me, even though you don't know who I am, but, I mean, for them to give me a production team to work with, I mean, that is really the best learning experience I could have possibly asked for.
And actually, because of your work with the Revolution, I believe, didn't you do some work with the soccer team as well?
Well, yeah, I'm actually I'm contracted out by D210 TV for Time Warner Cable Sports, and it's the only all-female sports broadcasting team in the
Wow.
United States, which is really cool to be a part of. So we have a team of us, and then I cover soccer. We have girls that cover the Mavericks, the Dallas Cowboys. So, yeah, that's soccer season just started up too, so this is a very busy time for me.
Definitely so. There really is no off-season in media.
Nope.
And I'm going to go back to the Inside the Revolution for a second. Have you had, like, a favorite guest, or is there somebody that you haven't had on yet that you've been trying to track down to get on there?
Well, I mean, I feel like I've gotten to know – I mean, I'm still interviewing the new players and whatnot, but I will say that my all-time favorite Texas Revolution player is Darius Fudge. Have you interviewed him yet?
Yes, I've had him on a couple times, and actually probably in the next couple weeks he'll be back on.
Oh, he's the best. And it's even gotten to the point where I'll just, like, go up to him on the sideline, and I know that he's in a hurry, so I'll just be like, hey, give me a couple words for the camera. And he'll just, like, freestyle the most, like, perfect thing to say, you know, for, like, a little pregame recap, postgame recap. I mean, he's so good. He needs to go into Hollywood. I tell him that all the time.
Yeah, I wish I had the notes from when he was on before. Maybe I can track him down before the end of it. But I think he's a big Captain Planet fan or something like that. We got talking about cartoons when he was on.
Oh, right.
It's something like that. And the weird thing was, as I brought up the question, it was part of the questionnaire I was asking people last year. And as I brought it up, there was four or five of them that liked Captain Planet. And I was like, you guys need to get together and just start watching this.
Yeah, that's so funny. Who would have thought?
Do you have one of those kind of shows that you just, you know, like favorite, you know, cartoon growing up or anything?
You know, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I don't really watch TV. I mean, I guess just because I'm always, like, running around here, there, everywhere. I mean, I like to watch Modern Family and The Bachelor, but I don't ever sit down and binge watch anything, and that blows my mind how some people can. That's one of my goals in life, is to become one of those people that can just sit and binge watch an entire TV series, because I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, I get to do it occasionally, but I haven't got to do it a whole lot lately. I definitely know I'm the same way. I'm running around so much. I'm like, how can you just sit down and watch like 12 episodes at once?
I know. Those people must have the most relaxing life that they can just sit there and watch whatever they want. But I did see The Bachelor last night, so that was great. But not too much.
Who ended up winning that? I wasn't able to catch that. Not that I keep up with that show that much, but I've known some of the people on it before, so.
Lauren Brushnell won, but the girl that is going to be the upcoming Bachelorette, her name's JoJo. Her and I went to college together. So I'm rooting for her, and that blows my mind that she just was awarded her own TV show. It's pretty cool.
That is definitely cool. And that was the photo you sent out earlier, right?
Uh-huh. Yep, I tweeted it earlier. If you want to go see, follow me at It's Catherine Dunn. I had to plug myself.
I was going to plug it anyway, but that worked.
Oh, thanks.
So I didn't know if you wanted that one put out or if you wanted the Dallas Mavericks dancer one.
Yeah, I mean, I still have my DMD underscore Catherine. I'm kind of holding back on that one a little bit now just because I'm trying to transition into my career more so than dancing, which, I mean, like, and people are gonna go look at my personal Twitter and be like, what do you mean your career? All you tweet about is pizza and Wi-Fi and, you know, like crazy stuff. But I've developed such a huge following for Dallas Mavericks dancer Catherine, which I love. I mean, they're great to me. But I'm trying to develop an equally large following that I can take with me for, you know, Texas Revolution, FC Dallas, all the other things that I have going on.
Oh, definitely so. You want to, you know, show everybody you're more than just the dancer.
Yeah.
Which, oddly enough, brings me up to the next question. How long have you been dancing?
I've been dancing since I was three, but I've never been, like, a, you know, competitive dancer, soloist. I would just always do it for fun and exercise. So I've been dancing since I was three, and then just professionally since I was made the team when I was 23.
Wow. So let's see. Well, I was gonna say if you've been dancing since you're three, then I was gonna say if you're dancing since you were three, then you must have been dancing for about 17 years now. But when you said you made the team at 23, I guess I got to add a few to that.
I know. I just shot myself in the foot. I made the team when I was 18.
Yeah, I was actually 17. My parents had to sign for it, but it's totally cool.
That's funny.
Now, you're younger than me, and you definitely don't look like you're, you know.
So old.
What was it like growing up in not only Dallas, but Coppell is actually your hometown, right?
Mm-hmm. Coppell. Yeah, oh my gosh. That actually brings me to the funniest story. So people... no one knows how to pronounce Coppell. So when I competed in my very first pageant, I was Miss Coppell team. And no one knew how to pronounce it, and I kept on telling the MC, like, it's Coppell, Coppell, but they kept saying Coppell. So every time I'd go on stage, they'd be like, and Miss Coppell. And I'd be like, dang it, it's Coppell. But so no one knows how to pronounce it. It was a really great, I mean, it was a fun town, small. It's definitely gotten a lot bigger. But I went to private school growing up. So I didn't really get the whole, like, public, you know, like the whole Coppell experience that, you know, people always ask me if I know certain people, but I went to a much smaller school.
Okay.
So it was a good childhood. It turned out okay.
That's what I always tell people. I was like, nobody's perfect. I made it. I'm here.
Yes.
Now, of course, that brings me to as far as I was going to talk to you about style and fashion, but you're actually a clothing stylist, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been interested in fashion. I went to Baylor, first of all, because they have such a great fashion merchandising program, mm-hmm. and I wanted to be I used to want to be an evening gown designer. So that was my goal, you know, until I got into college, and then I started competing in pageants, and I realized that I actually want to be wearing the clothes instead of designing the clothes. So, and I love to talk. So I decided that communications was more up my alley to become sort of some sort of television or radio personality. But since I started out with fashion, I mean, that's always like for a nice day job that I have that I can, you know, pay my bills. I do retail. So it's like, you know, I do retail by day and then sports broadcasting and reporting by night. Hopefully sooner or later I'll be able to make it all sports broadcasting by day and night, but you got to pay the bills.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a process. That's what I tell people.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as your own personal style and fashion, is there particular things you try to do, or you just go with what's comfortable or what you think, you know, works for the moment?
You know, I go 0 to 100 in my style. I mean, I'm either wearing workout clothes, even when I'm not working out, just, you know, running errands, I'm wearing workout clothes and tennis shoes, or I'm dressed up in a nice dress. Like, I don't really know how to dress casual. There's a huge gap missing in my style that I guess I never learned. So it's just either sweatpants or fancy dress. But
hey,
it looks good.
That's what some fans at a local baseball game learned the other day. They always see me at, because one of the teams we cover here, or a couple of the teams we cover at Impact Media, is Georgia State University as far as their baseball team and their football team. Well, during football season, I'm usually in either a suit and tie or some sort of vest and tie, always usually one of the better dressed people on media row. Well, mm-hmm. baseball season started up. I was able to swing by and catch a few games, and I still had a nice shirt for the most part, but it was shorts and tennis shoes, and everybody was like, I didn't think you owned anything like that.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, there's
I was
no
like,
in
it's
between.
Baseball, there's dirt, I'm going to wear something, I don't mind getting dirty.
Yep.
Of course, doing some of the media things you do and obviously being a dancer for the Mavericks for the last 3 years, who's your favorite celebrity that you've met?
Okay, you might not even think he's a celebrity, but let me first preface this by saying I don't really get starstruck too often. I mean, I've met a lot of interesting people, and I mean, they're just normal people. But
right.
for some reason, when I met Art Briles, the Baylor football coach, I completely geeked out, and I could barely talk. And I was with a friend of mine, and I actually like introduced my friend as Art Briles. So I was like, oh, this is my friend Art Briles. And then Art was like, wait, I'm Art Briles. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm vomiting up my words right now. I was so nervous, and I don't know why, because I don't get like that with everybody. But
wow,
for some reason, when I met Art Briles, I had just lost it, all composure.
Wow, and since I forgot to do it earlier, I like to give shout-outs to people who either don't think they're getting shout-outs or just don't usually get the attention. So not only shout-out to Art Briles, who's been doing who did a great job at Baylor, but shout-out to the Baylor Bears, because you guys
don't
get the recognition.
Oh, well, they get pretty good recognition now. When I went there, we were so bad at football. So bad. Well, I guess we're getting a little bit better because we got RG3. But, I mean, when my brother went there, we couldn't win a game at all. I mean, for the life of us, people were leaving at halftime because we were losing so bad. And now whenever I go back to a football game for homecoming, people leave at halftime because we're winning by so much. People are like, well, what the heck? I mean, we already know we're going to win.
Yeah.
Which, that sounds so bad, but it makes me proud because we've come a long way.
Definitely have. I was going to mention RG3, and now people are probably doing the math. If they know you were there when RG3 was there, I think they can do some math now.
I know. I'm completely giving away my age right now. but yeah, RG3 and I actually had a couple classes together.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty cool seeing him, you know, become as big as he did. And every time I see a Redskins fan or someone on Twitter beat up on him, I take it personally because since he's like our, you know, like the Baylor Jesus. So, but yeah, I'm a huge fan.
What classes did you have with him? Do you remember?
Interviewing was the one that I remember off the top of my head.
So, yeah, I could see
really
that.
Smart.
He's quite good at press conferences. I always give him credit there. I just hope his knee holds up and he gets another opportunity because I feel like he's still got plenty of life in him.
I know. I hope so, too.
So, RG3, shout out to you. You may not get recognition nowadays a whole lot, but if you want, tune in a couple of my other shows in the next couple of weeks, and I'll tell you what teams you should go to.
Yes. Maybe the Dallas Cowboys.
That's one of the teams out there. I mean, Jerry, you know, Jerry Jones, maybe, hopefully you're listening to this show because I know you're such an avid listener to this.
Shout out to Jerry.
Hey, you know, yeah, shout out to Jerry Jones because by far he doesn't get the media coverage he deserves. But, Jerry, if you're listening, not only should you get RG3, but you should hire Catherine and me to run your media department.
Thanks for that.
I guarantee we'll be entertaining. She knows what she's doing, and I'm funny and goofy looking. So, I mean, it's a good match.
Yeah, it is.
But before I do get a lawsuit from the Cowboys, we'll move on from Jerry Jones. And who would you like to meet that you haven't met yet?
Well, there was it was last year, and there was this Emmitt Smith red carpet event that Steve Harvey was the host. And
wow.
I'm a huge fan of Steve Harvey, Family Feud. That's probably the only TV show that I do watch on a consistent basis is Family Feud with Steve Harvey. So when I found out he was going to be the host, I geeked out like I did when I met Art Briles. And I was shaking. I was so excited because I just knew I was going to meet him. But when it came down to it, I waited on the red carpet all night to get an interview with Steve Harvey, and he was running late because he had another event, so his plane was running late or something like that. So he skipped the red carpet.
Wow.
And I didn't get to interview him. So I saw him on stage, so I was still in the same room with him, and it was awesome. But I didn't get to interview him like I had thought, and I was so let down. So hopefully someday I'll be able to meet him and interview him.
Wow, because of course they film a lot of the recent Family Feuds in Atlanta, which is not far from my hometown. So, Steve, I'll just say it once. From one native Atlantean to another, you got to hit my girl up here.
I know.
She wants to meet you.
Like
you got to, we got to, can somebody, you know, stalk him on social media and make this happen? I'm sure somebody out there can. I mean, John Navarez, I know you're listening because you hear all the shows. So maybe you or Charlie can call somebody. I mean, we got Hall of Famer Brown. At some point, somebody has to know him.
But, yeah, that's who I want to meet. I think it's just because I was so let down that I didn't get to meet him that one day that I was so excited to meet him. I mean, it's like one of those things, like, you want what you can't have. And it was, like, dangling in front of me, and then, you know, it just didn't work out. So I still want to meet him.
Hey, well, I'll see what I can do. I doubt I have the power. That's why I was throwing out some of the bigger names I know that are listening right now that maybe we can help somebody out here, you know, trying to make dreams come through here on Revolution Zone.
Thanks.
And, of course, as we are finishing up with Miss Catherine Dunn, the lovely and amazing and very talented Catherine Dunn here on Revolution Zone, tell me a little bit about the Kim Kardashian interaction you had on social media a couple days ago.
Oh, I died. Oh, my gosh. That was one of the craziest moments of my life, and I didn't realize how much of a Kim Kardashian fan I was until she has, like, noticed me. But so I got this new Lumi cell phone case, and it, you turn it on, and it has a LED light, so you can take, you know, a good selfie in no matter what the lighting is, which is really vain, but I got one anyways. And when I got it, I had told the company previously, they gave me a 10% discount, and they said, like, you know, can you please tweet about us or, you know, Instagram about us? So I did, and I put, for your perfect, so it was something along the lines of, like, for your perfect Kim K selfie, your Lumi case, something like that. I didn't tag her in the tweet, which is wild, because I don't know how she saw it. But a couple hours later, I look in my email, and it says that Kim Kardashian, the Kim Kardashian, had tweeted me. And it was the real one, because at first I was like, oh, it's probably one of those parody accounts, whatever. But no, it was the real Kim Kardashian. So I'm guessing what happened was, so Kim K was tweeting, or was trending that day, because that was the same day that she had tweeted the naked selfie that
right.
morning. So, you know, everyone was talking about Kim K. So I was really strategic in my tweet where I put Kim K because I knew that was trending, so I'd get the most traffic. And I guess she had gone through and was looking at what people were saying about her and saw my tweet. And maybe since I was the only one that wasn't beating her up that day or, you know, like talking bad about her, she decided to respond back. But, yeah, it was pretty cool. I died. It was a total white girl moment, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty awesome because, I mean, like yeah. her or not, I had the same conversation about a politician the other day with somebody who was, it's not a very favorable politician as of late, but they were so excited. They've always been a follower of this person. They got to meet the person and take a picture with them, and we're going to blow it up to a poster because they liked it so much. And I said, look, like them or not, they're still this person. They've done these important things. They've, you know, they've impacted everybody's lives because of things they've done. So I was like, you know, no matter how you feel, even about the Kardashians, it's still Kim Kardashian. She's done so many positive things.
I feel like she's the most famous person in the world right now. I mean, maybe not in the world, but I mean, like, at least in, you know, the United States, everyone knows who she is and what she's doing and what she's wearing and who she's tweeting. Me. So, yeah, it was really, I mean, it was pretty cool to get noticed by her. And she doesn't directly tweet everybody. So.
No, not at all. That's why when I saw your post about that, I was like, that is actually really big. She rarely responds to people.
Yeah. So, I mean, people are still favoriting it, which now has kind of gotten, like, a little annoying because I'll, like, get a notification on Twitter. And I'll be like, oh, someone tweeted me. And I'm like, oh, no, it's just someone favoriting the Kim Kardashian tweet. And it's, like, up to, like, almost 2,000 favorites and
wow.
however many retweets. It's yeah. And all she said was yes. So I don't know why people are favoriting it, but they are.
Hey, it happens. It happened to me over a month ago. I sent out a tweet about a famous person, and it's still daily that I get 4 or 5 people either liking it, retweeting it, or doing something with it. And I was like, I almost want to take it down now because I'm just tired of checking my phone.
I know. It's like I'm already over it.
Yeah.
Except
like,
for
guys,
I'm not over
I've did more part. Since then. But like I said, we got a couple more questions, and I'll let you on with the rest of your evening. I know you probably have media obligations at this point, or I know you're still practicing because, like we said, the Mavericks. Yes, Mr. Cuban, I stick by this statement. It may be a little biased, but the Mavericks are going to be in the playoffs, so we got to make sure that the dance squad knows everything and is good, and there's no loose floorboards or nothing.
Yep. We're in tip-top shape.
Which is not a problem at the American Airlines Center as far as I know, but what's it like performing at an arena like that?
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's hard to explain. It's a huge, I mean, I think that there's 30,000 people in the American Airlines Center. So,
wow.
I mean, when you go out there, it's pretty surreal when you think about it and you think of how many people are watching you. And I've made friends with the people in the broadcast room. So every time I'm on the court, they make sure to put me on at least a couple times, which is great. Because then, you know, I'm like, my parents will be like, wow, you were on there a bunch. I'm like, yeah, I know people.
It
but,
helps.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, it's great exposure, and I mean, it's really cool to be in such a public position in Dallas.
That's awesome. I know you have to work out to keep in shape for that, among just, you know, normal healthy living, but do you have any fitness or nutrition tips, anything in particular you do, or if somebody just walked up to you on the street or something and, oh man, you know, you're in such good shape, what do you do to stay in shape?
Well, I'll admit that I'm probably the worst when it comes to going to the gym because I don't know what to do. Like, I'll just like walk in and I'll be like, oh, I'll go to the cardio machine because that's all I know. So I have to do boot camps if I want to get in shape. So I love Jay Johnson's boot camp. That's one of my favorites. And then me and my dad actually go to that together. And as far as nutrition goes, I try to eat gluten-free. I have rheumatoid arthritis. So
wow.
I have to eat gluten-free in order for my body to stay into remission. So that's just something that I've done since I was 12 years old. And actually, before eating gluten-free was cool. And, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, of course, when I'm trying to lose weight, I'll eat a little bit more grilled chicken and lay off the carbs. But I love carbs, and I love pizza and burgers. So I just try to go to as many boot camps as I can.
Well, that's awesome. I've never been to one of those boot camps. I need to look one up, so maybe I'll check out Mr. Johnson's there. And you know, I've gotten where I've kind of eaten a lot more gluten-free stuff. Not on purpose. I just, the kinds of things I eat sometimes, I just look and go, oh, this is gluten-free. Like
yeah.
A box of Cheerios just sitting beside me right now.
Well, yeah, it's a lot easier now. When I was 12 and actually found out that I had rheumatoid arthritis was when no one ate gluten-free. Like, I know that everyone kind of gets onto it because they're like, ah, it's a fad. But I love that it's a fad because it makes it so much easier for people that actually are celiac or do have to eat gluten-free. It's so much easier to find things. I mean, like, I remember going through the Wendy's drive-thru and, like, literally picking off the breading off of chicken fingers because
wow.
It was even that hard to get, like, grilled chicken. I mean, it was just, it was such a different time as far as healthy eating goes. So I do love that gluten-free is popular now.
Definitely.
I love
so.
All the bandwagoners.
Yeah, it's helped out a lot of people. I mean, I've known people with other conditions besides arthritis that said they can't eat it at all because their body can't process it. And, you know, a lot of people are like, I've never heard of that. And I was like, well, we've actually figured out what was making people sick, certain people. So it's good that we're now finding some way around that.
Yeah.
And then next to last question, because we'll end with a fun one. Next to last question, what's it like being a role model?
That's one of the greatest honors of my life. I mean, it's a really cool feeling to, like, think of how I was when I was a little girl, and I always looked up to the professional dancers and pageant queens and, you know, like, really powerful, beautiful women. And, I mean, I've made it a goal of mine to become that person that I looked up to when I was a little girl. So every time I, you know, have a girl come up and ask me for my autograph or want to take a picture of me or, like, you know, message me on Instagram or Twitter and say, like, oh, like, how can I do something like what you're doing? And, you know, just ask for my advice about anything. Like, it's the best compliment that I could possibly receive. Because that's why I do all this. I mean, I love the whole sports broadcasting and all of that, but I wouldn't want to be in such a public position if it wasn't my passion to be a role model for young girls.
That's definitely awesome. And by far, you're definitely a great role model for a lot of people. We hear all the times from especially little fans when we get to interact with them, but they always talk about it's fun to see you around. You always have a smile. If anybody asks you anything, that you'll usually respond to them and have a good time with it. So, you know,
of course.
I guess from them and myself, appreciate you being that way and embracing it the way you have.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And like I said, we'll end on a fun one because I get yelled at by fans when we end on serious things. So we'll end on this one. This was a fan submission. If you won the lottery, and this is taking away, you know, buying a house for your parents or a car for your friend or, you know, do anything nice like that. What's the main thing that you would, you know, if you were allowed to blow part of that money, what would you just blow an obscene amount of money on? Just something fun.
Oh, man. That's really hard. Because usually whenever people ask me that, I always say that I would reimburse my dad for the tuition at Baylor. But, I mean, that's not fun. I would love a pair of Louboutin shoes. You know the shoes with the red bottoms?
Yeah.
I know that's so frivolous, but I don't have a pair, and I really want one. Or I would buy the Kanye West Yeezys in every color.
So you're a big Kanye fan?
No, I'm not, but I mean, I'm not a Kim Kardashian fan either, but, you know, they are who they are.
Right.
But I really like the Yeezys. It would totally be something, like, unnecessary and over the top and, like, total, like, brand conscious like that.
Yeah.
I would be that person.
Wow. So either the Yeezy company or the Louboutin or any of those, if you're looking for a spokesperson, I believe Catherine is available. You know, a couple weeks ago we had Clinton Solomon on, and he said something about being he would love to model for Express or something like that. So, I mean, if we're trying to get people extra work, then by far, I think you got your spokesperson right here.
Yeah, I mean, I would Instagram about it. And then maybe Kim Kardashian would tweet me back. You know, you never know.
Especially if they're Yeezys. She may go, oh, I bet you don't have this color, and send you the other color.
Yeah. I know, I should just hit Kim up and be like, hey, since we're friends and all now.
Yeah.
Can you ask Kanye?
Yeah, since we're
we'll see.
Yeah. Since we're social media buddies, can I get that new color? Well, Catherine, it's been absolutely amazing. You more than lived up to the fun I thought we'd have you being on. So appreciate you exceeding expectations here. I'm glad we finally got you on, and I promise you, fans, I will do my best to make sure that she's back on sometime later on in the season. We'll check back in to see how things are going, and we'll make sure that she's not a stranger.
Nope, I won't be a stranger.
But like we said, if you want to follow her on Twitter, it's at It's Catherine Dunn. You can find her there. That's usually how I find her, even though I always tell people, a lot of people that even have my phone number, they would rather send me a tweet or a personal message on Twitter, and I'm like, that's fine. It all comes to the same phone. So.
Yep.
But I'll let you on to the rest of your night. It's been fabulous having you on, and good talking with you. So we'll see you on later down the road.
Yep. All right. Talk to you later.
We'll see you later.
Bye.
And, of course, like I said, that is Catherine Dunn, not only Dallas Mavericks dancer, but social media guru. She's a lot better on it than I am. And, of course, she hosts Inside the Revolution each and every week that they have home games. She's all over the Dallas area as well. Make sure to follow her. It's Catherine Dunn on Twitter. And just fun to have on. I'm glad we finally got her on. It was mainly, I'll put it this way. She's got a lot more open schedule. It was mainly me last season as to why we couldn't get her on. We couldn't get it past some of the things we had scheduled. So glad to have her on. We'll definitely have her back on soon. But without skipping a beat, we're going to go on and move on to our next guest because we've had him lined up, and I feel bad that he's been on hold for a couple minutes, but right now he is, I think he's the leading rusher in the league, but right now he's a running back for your Texas Revolution, Jordan Brown. How you doing, Jordan?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I think you are the leading rusher in the league, if I'm right.
No. that's good. That's good after the first game. That's good.
I mean, I know other teams have played a couple games, but between the game against the Stealth and then this latest one against the Venom, I hate it for Darius because, you know, we're good friends with him as well, but I know you've outrushed him at least.
No, you try to put a wedge between me and my man. Come on now.
No, I wouldn't do that. Nah. I would step in front of the bus there. No, it's nothing personal to Darius, but that's why it's so great having the two of you guys, because when the defense cinches down on one game plan, that means the other one's open, and that's usually how you guys balance out.
Yeah, that's we've been talking about that off season. Just thinking about how we can be able to complement each other. Unfortunately, last year I wasn't able to do the full season, but I came in right at the right time, and people got to see what we could do as a unit. So this year is awesome to have us for a full season, and really excited to see where it takes us.
Well, and I know you got to listen to the last few minutes with Catherine there. Is there any company you want to be a spokesman for? Apparently, that's one of the new things we're doing on the show, is trying to set people up being spokesmen.
Oh, Team Jordan, Michael Jordan's company.
Oh, see, there you go. So Michael, I know Michael Jordan's listening. You know, he sends us so many good messages that this is his favorite show to listen to. So, Michael, since you're listening, you got to hook Jordan up here. He'd be a great face of the franchise here.
Yeah. Team Jordan, ever since I was a little kid, I have all his shoes, for one. Two, it's the perfect match. You got the same name, or at least one name in common.
Right. Yeah, they wouldn't have to change any of the letters on the wall or anything.
Nope, not at all. But I think they just inducted a couple new players, so I may have to wait, but I don't mind.
Nah, I mean, they can't be as good as you, though, right?
You know what? That is a good point. You know, I'm very confident in my talent, so I think I'd be a great addition.
Probably so. Maybe we can make this happen. I don't know. We'll get the powers that be. Maybe they're listening. I'll throw out the names I did earlier. You know, Charlie Hallbold, if you're listening. John Navarez. I mean, anybody has.
Rhapsody,
if you're listening. Go ahead.
Sign me.
Yeah, exactly. And if they do want to find you, at Jordan Brown 6 is how they can find you on Twitter still, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Never going to change that.
Well, unless it's, you know, unless you put an MJ at the end of it or something, if you do endorse them.
Absolutely.
But it's been a little while since we had
Jordan.
Exactly. It's been a little while since we've had you on the show. So obviously, besides the season, what you been up to?
I've been honestly just gaining. Obviously my outside job. I work at CDW as an account manager. I've been there for almost 2 years now. Doing that. Also, in life, that's what brought me down here. And we're just building the team, just trying to continue to strive and get better and make new headlines and see where life takes us.
Exactly. I think that's the best attitude to have. Now, of course, one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on the show is a lot of the fans write in, and, you know, we try to get the guests on they wanted to, and just like I told Catherine, you're actually one of the more requested ones as well, you and Darius, and they want all of them on eventually, but one of the things they always bring up is as far as preparing for games and, you know, those kinds of things, and it's not just the rituals, but, you know, how does a typical week go as a member of the Revolution?
On an individual or a team standpoint?
Just a little bit of both, I guess.
Okay. So from a team standpoint, usually our work week starts on Sunday night. We all get together. We watch the film of the previous game just to have some closure to each week. Obviously, to highlight the pluses, but to definitely highlight the minuses as well. That way we get better, work on them throughout the week of practice. And then today we actually, not today, Monday, we actually practice get all that lactic acid. Some people don't work out after the game, so it's good to get all that lactic acid out of your body, get some fresh blood flowing. So Mondays is usually our conditioning day. And then from Tuesday to Thursday, depending on when we play, is all work for preparation for the next team, special teams. Usually we do offensive day, then a defensive day, and then we do a special team combination day between offense and defense on Thursday. Just looking at different looks, preparing for different types of matchups that we possibly could be seeing from a week-to-week basis. That's kind of a snapshot as far as team goes. On an individual standpoint, I like to watch the film from the previous game on my own, to watch myself and to see what different runs, what I could have done on each run if it didn't go as well as I wanted to. And even if I did have a good run, but it didn't result into a touchdown, how could I have made it into a touchdown for that next week? Obviously, preparation for your body. Your body's a temple and your body's your investment. So definitely eating right, stretching, which I need to do more of, ice bath, throughout the week to continue to keep my leg as fresh as possible for the work week, because we do go hard each practice. So as much as you break down your body, you got to build it back up. And then praying. Praying to stay healthy and keeping God first and keeping us straight and keeping the revolution all together with no problem, no issue, and we're good. That's my typical preparation week. And then obviously when it comes game day, I get a different feeling as I'm supposed to. But at the same time, you got to stay sane, you got to stay focused, you got to stay calm and cool and collected and calm before the storm, because once the game, once that whistle blows, it's ready to go. It's go time.
Yep, absolutely. And what's been kind of the difference between last season and this season? I know this season's just starting, but, you know, there's a few new faces around, a few things have been shaken up, but, you know, for the most part, it looks like the talent level's still there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This year's team, it's funny that you say that, because I've been on teams where people come and go, but the team's identity definitely changes. And don't get me wrong, there's definitely a different feeling from each year to year, especially from this year and from last season to this season. But the ultimate goal has not changed. The goal to make it to the championship, not only to make it, but to win it this year, has not changed. I think the new faces on the team, they've understood that from day one. You could definitely see it in their eyes as the year has gone on, camp has gone on, to be able to not only prepare as a champion, but to perform as a champion. We do have familiar faces, and it's good that we have some veteran leadership, not only from last year's team, but teams my rookie year. You mentioned Clinton Solomon. I mean, he was with me my rookie season. He ends up going up to play at Las Vegas. But he decided to come back down and play with us to give us a championship, help us get a championship, which is awesome. Got Frankie back. And then we have an excellent coaching staff, youth, young coaching staff that know what it takes to win. Rashad Washington played with us last year, so he most definitely understands where we need to go, because he was with us last year, so he knows what it takes to get us there. But other than that, I think our mentality as a team is strong, and as the season continues to wear on, it only is going to get even stronger and more intense and more together as a group as we come together as the season goes on.
I can definitely see that. And you know, it's that family mentality. That's what really, when I started even just following the Revolution before I was even covering them, there's that family mentality that it's like a, you all look out for each other, you all care about each other, and that's what's always been one of the highlights to me of being a part of the Texas Revolution. Fan question that was sent in that I thought was pretty funny that I've kind of edited it down a little bit, but they want to know, after practicing against them, how relieved are you to not have to run against DeMario Dixon and Taylor McCullough?
Well, the way I look at it is we're playing the best defense we're going to play all season. So having the ability to play them day in and day out is a blessing. It only makes myself better, but it makes the offense better. Because we're not going to see anybody, in my eyes, I feel like as tough as them. Yes, I am relieved. They do bring the pain every time we hit. But I definitely would love to hear what their answers are after facing myself and Fudge every day in and day out at the same time.
I am making a note right now. In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to have them on and ask them that question, because it's a question that crossed my mind as well, but when the fan wrote it in, I said, you know what, I've never asked anybody that about, you know.
No, it's a grind. There's times where they get us a couple plays, and then there's times where we get them a couple plays, but that's all in good competition. And it only makes your whole team better. Because at the end of the day, we're all one team.
Yep, absolutely. And let's see. If I can find one. There were some other fan questions I'll get to here in a minute. I'm trying to get them to pull up because for some reason they're not pulled up. But the other thing I was going to ask you was kind of the emotions of playing professional football, the range of emotions you can go through during a game, because, I mean, it really is like watching a Tom Hanks movie or something like that. There's so many highs, there's lows, there's probably tears, there's blood, there's sweat, there's all that. But, I mean, what's it like going through, you know, pretty much the...
It's a three-hour movie, to be honest with you. I mean, you start off, beginning of the movie, you're excited, ready to go. You don't know what's going to happen. Beginning of the game, things are going right. Everything is going as planned. Home field advantage. Everybody's excited, first game. And then that first sign of adversity happens. And it's that first turn of events in the movie. And everybody's like, oh, my God, how's the protagonist or the main character going to react? Same thing with us. How's the home team going to react? Vision squad scores. And it's like, oh, my God, we thought we had them. We thought we had them all figured out. They're about to quit. And all of a sudden, they score. And we got to go to something else. The emotion of going high to low is like a roller coaster. But you got to be able to forget and move on. Short-term memory when you're playing professional football. Short-term memory when you're playing football in general, but definitely professionally, because you cannot let emotion drive you throughout the game, because you definitely will make mistakes and you'll do something you will regret, or you'll make a mistake that you usually don't do. You'll get out of character. You'll get out of the player that you are. For example, I mean, in the game, this past game, Amarillo started coming back. I was actually back deep as the up back. The kicker kicked it, a squib kick. Ball touched my hand. I definitely should have just – I was a little indecisive, and that's my fault. But and that never will happen again. But just the emotion of them scoring up that play and feeling like it was my fault, which it definitely was, not putting it on me. But being able to come off that and forget it and forget and to make a play. Tell yourself, okay, I owe myself a play. I owe the team a play. But the challenge is, though, and that's what being a true professional is, to be able to forget and forgive your mistakes and not be too hard on yourself, but to also step up in big time. And some people got it and some people don't. But to only you know if you got it.
Absolutely so. And let's see, how many official touchdowns did they give you? Did you get two or three in the game?
I have three total touchdowns so far.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So, but we're looking to increase that number come Saturday night. Got a tough test against the Mesquite Marshals, new team, but definitely a formidable opponent. They just beat the league champs last week.
Wow, did
so
they? I wasn't able to check that out. Wow.
Yeah. So they're definitely going to come in with a chip on their shoulder, a lot of confidence. But I think we'll be ready to go. I know we'll be ready to go. Second game of the season, week two. Chance to gain ground on the divisional leading Dodge City. And who we play the week after. So this is definitely a big game for us.
Definitely so. And what's it like having an offensive lineman like Wormley that can catch them coming out of the stance like that? Because I know that means you guys are usually a distraction option or something, but I think he had a couple as well. And it just – that's the fun thing about indoor to me is you get to see those kinds of plays. And the defense just was completely baffled that he would catch the ball, I guess.
Yeah. First off, I mean, offensive line is what – the heart and soul of the whole team. Since I've ever started playing running back, I've always given credit to my offensive line. Hopefully, God willing, one day I'll be able to play on a team where players will pay me a lot of money. I'll be able to reward the offensive line for what they do. But just a simple thank you, and I appreciate what you do. Definitely goes a long way. One, I've been playing with him for now my second year. He's a great lineman. Not only a funny dude, he's quiet, but he's very athletic, has great IQ for the game, has won a couple championships in his past, so he knows what he's talking about and knows what he's doing. We got Roy Richards as center. And then we got a new addition, Big Mac, we call him, who caught a ball in the last game, which people probably didn't expect. But we got an offensive line that could do it all. We got a bigger offensive line this year, which is awesome, which is one complaint from our defense. They can't see me, me nor Fudge, but especially me, since I'm a little shorter. And I squirt out the backfield, and they're like, oh, my God, JB, where'd you come from? And I'm like, hey. I'm behind the big guys. But, Wormley's a great guy, great lineman. I hope he continues to work hard because I could definitely see a bright future for him ahead.
Definitely so. And I know, or at least I think you may have heard me a couple weeks ago when I was breaking down the stealth game that you guys won pretty handily after the halftime adjustment. But when I was talking about you and Darius, I had said that it seems like you're more of the edge rusher and he's more of the between-the-tackle guy as far as your tendencies, or at least during that game it seemed to be that way. Was that kind of correct, or you guys just go, you know, where is open?
That's a good – I did hear that, and I thought about, I laughed and I thought about it because I never thought of it that way. Mr. Darius Fudge is an interesting character in a great way. He is a one-of-a-kind back that can definitely shake you and break you, but also have that power to run through you. I mean, he's about 6 foot, 215. Nah, he probably get on me if I said 215. He's about 205. But that's a lead back right there. Any guy in the NFL is like that, that stature, to be able to have the size to take on the block, but the speed to get around you, but the power to go through you at the same time. He definitely relies a lot more on his ability to shake you and break you. I am a one cut back, downhill, 1-2, and I'm gone. It's funny, but the plays that just happen to get called for us, we have the ability to go around the corner, but if we have to hit the tackles, go through the tackles at least, we can do that as well. I come from an offense in college where it's a pro set power offense, so I'm going between tackles more often than not. But I can hit the edge as well. I got enough speed to hit the edge and to get away from people. And I've always prided myself on making the first man miss. And I think I've been doing a pretty good job of that so far, and I want to continue to do that. I think you were pretty accurate on that statement.
It's just, I guess I see so much film, and I had just seen a college breakdown where it was literally a couple hours before game time, I saw a college breakdown featuring a bunch of running backs, and I just happened to, I guess the verbiage was still in my mind, so when I saw that, I was like, that's exactly how I saw it this way. And I was like, I hope I was accurate. Maybe it was just that game.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, we'll see Saturday night, but I definitely think your inquiry is true.
And I noticed that the local Polo Tropical has, I don't know if they're an official sponsor, but I know they've set you guys up with a few events. Have you got a chance to go check that out?
Not yet. We actually had a little lunch over there today, but I was going to make it. I was at work. But I know that they had a couple events set up over the weekend, so I definitely am looking forward to joining the team when the time is right for that. But it's awesome. We have actually a handful of new sponsors, which is awesome, just to see new people investing in the team and taking interest into what we do. Obviously, when you win and you bring that winning attitude to the city of Allen, more and more people are going to want to see what you guys are about. So hopefully we can continue to do that and make the front office happy and then ultimately make everybody on the team happy.
definitely so. And, of course, as we're finishing up here with Jordan Brown, who is putting Glastonbury High School and Bryant University on the map, and the Texas Revolutions, of course. You know, what are your goals for the season besides the championship? Do you have personal goals, things you'd kind of like to do, or is it really about just, you know, raising the championship banner?
I mean, I've always been a team guy. My girlfriend always gets on me about I need to be, like, you're so humble. You're so humble. And I'm like, this is how I am. So I obviously am saying team first. But I definitely, I always make individual goals. But this year, all off season, I was working very hard. I was a little bit chunkier last year. So I really worked on trying to slim down. So that was one personal goal of mine, which I definitely achieved. To get back to how I used to be in college, slashing and dashing instead of a big bruiser. So I was able to accomplish that. But I've had this MVP mindset. I want to go for that league MVP status. I want to dominate this league, but I also want to try to make a statement. I want to be able to have 20 touchdowns in a year and average – what is 100 yards outside in the outdoor game inside. Whatever that is, I want to achieve that. I've definitely made some good strides so far due to the offensive line and the play calling from Robert Kent and Coach Mann. But that, the MVP is one of the goals of mine, and to lead the league in rushing. But just to be known as one of the more exciting, versatile players in the league. And to ultimately get a shot at either the CFL or the NFL, because I definitely see myself as a NFL, CFL caliber player.
Oh, definitely. I could probably make a case for you and all your teammates to get that next level step up. Because it's always
absolutely.
I always enjoy getting to watch you guys. And I tell people, I said, even if I take the biasness out of it, I said, I cover the team as far as a work related thing. I said, but I would watch this team even if I wasn't covering it, because you guys are always having a lot of fun. Like I said, with the family aspect. And you know, speaking of which, I noticed on your Facebook there is a quote, and I don't know if you're a fan of the person that said it or if you're more of a fan of kind of what's meant by it. So you got on here a quote from, in my opinion, the best. Batman enemy of all time, Batman villain of all time, the Joker, and why so serious? So why is so serious a big phrase for you?
Well, I like a lot of the comics, and the Joker is one of my favorite villains of all time. Heath Ledger played him to the T, and rest in peace to him. But why so serious? I mean, I've always been a laughing, joking, just enjoy life type of guy. Stay calm, cool, and collected. Not everything has to be a serious moment, because you only got one life to live. So being able to enjoy life and enjoy certain moments in life moments in life are meant to be felt and meant to be enjoyed. And some people, or just people in general nowadays, if something's going bad, you try your best to get out of it so quickly instead of not enjoying the moment but just feeling the moment. So that way, if it does happen again, you know what to do. Or you have the motivation to not let it happen again because you know what it feels like. So that's where that quote comes from. I have another quote that I definitely live my life by is "Let your game speak," and that's by the great Michael Jordan. I've always been that type of player since youth football, growing up in Naptown, Indiana, for the abbreviation, but it's Indianapolis, Indiana, and then moving to Connecticut where nobody really knew me, and I had to make a name for myself through football. Obviously, my dad signed me up. They're like, oh, yeah, just find him a spot. He just wants to play. And then coming out our first scrimmage and scoring four touchdowns, letting my game speak. Like, hey, I need to be playing. Then from going to that to high school to starting varsity my freshman year, first game starting, scoring twice and changing the whole momentum of the game to getting hurt my junior year to coming back and winning Coca-Cola Player of the Year and helping lead my team to a state championship. Then going from that to going to Bryan University and putting together one of the greatest careers a player could ever do, and being a finalist for the Heisman Trophy of 1AA and leaving school with 14 school records. I mean, things like that. But that, I don't need to talk about that. My game spoke for itself. And then being able to come down to Texas and make a name for myself. I mean, I've been with the team 3 years, and I came in with about 8 other rookies, and I'm the only one left. So being able to pry myself on that as well.
Definitely so. And I definitely, the type of player you are, you're definitely one that you don't really jaw with a lot of people. You really just, I call it scoreboarding. It's, if somebody wants to start talking trash or something like that, most of the time you just look up and, like, that number there says otherwise.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. But I definitely wanted to commend you as well. I mean, you're doing an excellent job with the show. I follow it. I may not listen every week in or week out, but I definitely am very happy that you are a part of our family, and I hope bigger things continue to grow for you.
I appreciate your show. That. And I definitely feel the same about definitely you and the rest of your teammates, but especially you, because I know you follow the show, and I really appreciate it. That's why, like I said to Catherine earlier, I said this is really kind of a really special show to me, because between you and Catherine, you're the ones who really put the show out there on social media and are always following it and always moving it around social media where other people can see it. So I definitely appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, man, absolutely. Anytime. I'm always about – I love seeing people trying to get better and improve their lives and just improve what they're doing. I mean, not everybody – it took me a little while to understand that. Like, not everybody has football as their dream, but everybody has a dream. So who are you to shoot down there what they're trying to do? I mean, I see it firsthand. My girlfriend, she's trying to be a singer, and she's doing an excellent job with that, but seeing it from a different point of view. Is always a good thing, and just seeing all my teammates strive for the same dream I am is awesome as well. So being able to kind of feed off each other's energy and, hey, did you do this? Did you do that? Type of deal. So, yeah, I'm all about supporting everybody else and what they're trying to do.
Absolutely. And, of course, as we finish up with you, we're here with Jordan Brown, one of the great running backs, of course, with Darius Fudge for the Texas Revolution. Like I told Catherine, I always get the not really negative, and I don't really get yelled at, but I always get the messages from the fans that we end on serious things a lot as opposed to fun things. So I like this question that they sent in. So we're going to end on this question. Just like I asked Catherine, if you won the lottery, and what would you blow just an obscene amount of money on? And, you know, this is taking away the, maybe buying your girlfriend a car or buying a house for your mom or something like that. That's taking away all the nice, good answers that you know, we would all do because we're good people. But, you know, that one thing that you would just blow money on just because you could.
I would buy an Indy car. And I would race, and I would pay as much money as I needed to pay for racing the Indy 500.
That would be a lot of fun.
I am something a lot of people don't know about me. I love car racing. Just growing up in Indianapolis, so it's the big Indy 500 is something that I really love. Being about this year, hopefully, will be my 13th time going.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's the 100th race, so it's something that's very commemorative. But I would blow my money on that. But that's not that. Obviously, you know, your typical house, your typical car, but definitely would give back, save a little bit and give back, try to start charity, or just honestly going into a neighborhood that is a little less fortunate in trying to get back to them and understand it. Like, your dreams can happen too. You may not, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Exactly. You know, since we're on the subject real quick, do you have a favorite IndyCar driver or even a favorite NASCAR driver?
Yeah, Marco Andretti. That's my man. All right. I always joke with my friends anytime we need to get to a place. I'm like, all right, Andretti is ready. But, I'm a big Marco Andretti fan. Well, just the whole family, but because I saw Michael Andretti race as well in a couple of races. But, I'm a big Marco Andretti fan.
It's hard to go wrong. He's definitely the one I like to watch when I watch him.
Absolutely.
Well, Jordan, it's been an absolute blast again getting to have you on. And like I said, having you and Catherine
Thanks,
on
man.
The same show really means a lot to me.
Just
because, like I said, you guys do a whole lot about helping push the show around, and you two are by far just absolute great humans, which is kind of rare nowadays.
I appreciate it, man. Anytime. I can't wait to be on once again, and hopefully during the rest of the season, and we look forward to a great season.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We will definitely get you back on a little later in the season to see how things are going as far as your personal things and your overall view of the season.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having me on, and go Revolution.
Absolutely. We got to put those cannons up. It is
cannons
go Revolution
up.
Time. And
absolutely.
We'll let you have a great rest of your evening. Like I said, we'll get you on a little later in the season as well. And thanks again, Jordan.
Sounds good. Thank you.
And that was running back Jordan Brown, like I said, by far, maybe I'm a little biased, but one of my favorite people on this team. I've talked to him probably more than I have a lot of the other players, which, I'm getting to know a lot of the other players, and every one of them are spectacular. If you go to the games, you guys know that. After the games are over, you can go down and talk to them, take pictures with them, get autographs. They're all super guys. John Tavares and Charlie and all the guys have just done a great job of bringing in this nucleus core of people just like they did in previous years. But, hopefully this is the year. There's something real special going on with this team, and I'm going to do my best to try to help tell the story off the field the way they're telling it on the field. But, like I said, it's about that time. So, appreciate you guys dropping by the Revolution Zone right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Go Revolution. Hands up.